My name is James Sagerton. This is the October 24th, 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum. I'm going to ask R. Paul Martin, our secretary, to call the roll.
Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams, Teresa Allen, Kamau Harris.
Here.
Julie Hewitt. Jim Kaufman.
I'm here.
Kaufman. R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden.
Here.
Dawn Kelly McPherson. James Sagerton.
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Okay, that's six, and that's a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. Appreciate that. Now we're going to move to the agenda. I will read the agenda. Number one is convene the meeting. Number two is roll call. Number three is adopt the agenda. Number four is minutes for 5 minutes. Number five is review the KPFK, the fiscal year 24 KPFK draft budget. KPFK IGM Michael Novick presenting with Q&A, 60 minutes. Number six is report from the executive director with Q&A, that's 30 minutes. Number seven is adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Are there any suggestions, discussion, additions, subtractions from the agenda suggested?
Yeah, this is Kim. I would like to add the July financials, which we have not reviewed, so we can release them to the public.
I think that's a good idea. R. Paul, can you send them around? So everybody has it at the top of their list?
First we need a motion. Add July financials. Where do you want to put this and for how long?
I don't care. I mean, it's hung up. I don't care.
May I suggest we put it as number seven after number six? So we get the reports and the budget in, and then we can go to that if there's time left over.
Okay, and for how long?
Let's see, we got 90. Why don't we say 15 minutes?
Okay. So the amendment is to add the July financials. How about a verb? Review. Review.
Yes.
Of... to add review of the July financials after number six, which is report from the executive director with Q&A, for 15 minutes.
Yes. Is that good with you, Ken?
Yeah, but if you're going to ask R. Paul to send around the July financials, could he please send around the ED report? I haven't seen it.
I sent that.
When?
Okay, I'll go in and look at the mail and see when I sent it.
Yeah, Stephanie also sent it. And
she sent it to you. I sent it to the...
And Kim, I think you also sent it. Let me just say something, R. Paul. Kim, when you send stuff to the NFC... natfinancecom@groups.io. That's the NFC list. So when you send something there, everybody sees it. You'll see on the chairs announcements.
I sent the budget there. I sent the budget.
Correct.
To that
yes,
list.
Did.
But I have not seen the ED's report. I mean.
Okay. It's from me and it's, it's okay. It came in. I sent it out at 8:27 Eastern. The title says draft agenda for this. However, in it says attached is the ED report for distribution, and in fact, the attachment is ED report for tonight.
And just for information purposes, I'm going to point out the last paragraph in the aforementioned announcements that are at the head of the agenda. It says the monthly Pacifica financials and other materials are simultaneously copied to the NFC, the PMV officers, and the unit managers. Please review them as they become available and be ready to discuss and ask questions, et cetera. So the idea is when things appear on the list, we're always keeping an eye on that and keeping ourselves updated. And so when anybody sees sends something to that list, we're all aware of it. Okay. Okay, so we're...
I'm just seeing our Paul's, what he sent at 528. You know, the ED report, which I asked for a couple of hours ago, and you're like, well, it's on the list. So I'm just getting it now.
I did not say it was on the list. When I responded to you, I said that sometimes the ED, often the ED sends one, sometimes she does not, and that she had not sent one as of the time of your message. She subsequently did.
It's in my comment back to you. It's like I was responding to, please look at the document from KPFK and the executive director on the NFC list. That's what your original message said. I'm responding to that. It's all good now. I have what I need. Thank you very much.
Very good. That was a reiteration of what we just said, which is if we keep up with what's sent to that list, we'll all be on the same page. When we get to
but
the
it
meeting.
Wasn't sent to that list, Jim, is my Kim, point. I just
Kim,
got it.
Kim, you haven't
at
been recognized. You haven't been recognized. Please suspend. Okay. So we were adopting the agenda. Is there any other discussion?
There's an amendment that we have to deal with. The amendment is to add review of the July financials after number 6 for 15 minutes.
Correct. That's what I was just about to say. Thank you all, Paul. So. Is there any further discussion or any other discussion on the amendment? Hearing none. Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. And now, if that becomes the main motion, is there any other discussion on any other part of the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we have our agenda, and that brings us to number 4, minutes. Our Paul, I understand we have some minutes.
Yes, hold on.
Yes, okay. Oh, God. Okay. We have minutes. I move that we approve the minutes of the September 26, 2023 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion?
I think those are the ones I have an issue with. Let me find them. This is for what date? NFC draft minutes 2023-9-12. Is that what you just said? Yeah.
No, these are 9-26.
Okay. Well, I had some issues with 9-12. Maybe I missed that. 9-26.
Okay, well, right now we're on the month of the 26th. Do you have anything else on the 26th, Kim?
No.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Any other discussion on the minutes of the 26th?
Wow.
I'm hearing the echo again, so could everybody mute who's not speaking? Okay, is there any objection to adopting the minutes of the 26th? Hearing none, they are adopted.
Okay, hold
Thank
on a
you.
Second. I'm looking and let's see. I'm looking at those minutes, and they say then that we approve the minutes of August 22nd. And did we not approve? Okay, let me look and see if we, in fact,
approved. Yeah, I don't
approved.
Think we approved 912, yeah.
Did we? Okay, 1 second. I got to use my fingers. Okay. Oh, okay. I have a passing. All right. That was it. Oh, God, I got to go back and look. I think we might have approved these at a previous meeting. On 9/12, we approved the August 22nd ones. And I have us on 9/26 approving August 22nd again, but I have to go and look at my notes. We may have approved the September 12th minutes. So we need to immediately.
Marple, do you want to do that now, or shall we do that?
Well,
next time?
One thing we need to do is look at the. We need to correct. You know, it has to be. All right. Well, the thing is, this will take a minute. So hold on a second, folks. And I will look at the
notes. I'm okay if we postpone this until the next meeting, too, if it's going
to
be.
Well, if somebody wants to postpone some of this to the next meeting, we can do that. Although what we should – okay, you know, people bring things up faster than I can go back and forth on the computer. So,
well,
the issue is
I'm okay with
approving. Kim, please suspend. Please have to be recognized. And I'm going to say I have previously said, Arpal, that perhaps we could postpone this until the next time. Would that be satisfactory with you?
Well, we just said that we passed without objection the September 26 minutes.
Correct.
So we need to reconsider that.
As soon as our fault.
If people, yeah, I mean, this is starting to take up time. So I'll move to reconsider. Reconsider. And so I move to reconsider the motion we just passed to approve the September 26 minutes. We pass that, and then we can just postpone everything.
Why do we need to postpone the ones we just passed?
Because it says those minutes say that we approved the. Yeah, you get it.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah.
Just,
I'll, so moved.
Thought I did that, but okay.
Okay, you did it. That's fine.
So we're it's to reconsider, and that's I think. I think that can go on to the next.
Well, we need to ask, I mean, if I may be recognized, the
yeah,
chair
go ahead, Kim,
say,
I was going
is there any
you.
Objection to unapproving the 9:26 meeting minutes?
I do not have any objection, and I do never have an objection to you speaking when you get recognized. It's all good.
Yeah, and. Well, I would like to continue to say, and I'd like to postpone 9:12 and 9:26 minutes to the next meeting. How's that?
Well, that's different from what our call just said. Our
call
is asking us to rescind what we just did.
A moment, and I'm looking at my raw notes.
No. First we reconsider, and then we postpone.
Kim, our call is trying to straighten it out. Just let him. Let him do his work.
I think
he's
it's
the
faster
secretary.
If I just look at this.
He's got to keep this all straight.
Okay, it looks like we approved the minutes of the August 22nd meeting twice. And I said August 22nd last time instead of September 12th. So What we can do is the motion to reconsider is on the floor. We should pass that instantly without objection. And then
it'll all be on the floor,
and then we'll postpone everything.
Okay, is there any objection to rescinding the previous motion? Hearing none, that's done. Go ahead, Arpal. Now it's all on the floor.
I move to postpone the consideration of the minutes.
Thank you, Arpal. Is there any discussion on that?
Well, I'd like to clarify that we're postponing 926 and 912. Because 912 is
we didn't have 912 on the floor.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Okay, so are we good now?
Okay. So
I'm hearing the echo again.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking, and so then 912 is in limbo until Arpal researches it. Okay, fine.
Thank you, Kim. Okay, so is there any objection?
Postponing.
It's a postponing. That's right. Hearing none, that's done.
All right. Sorry, folks. We'll fix it next time.
That's okay. You do a lot of work. It's all good. All right. Now, we go to our guest, Michael Novick. He will be presenting the FY24 KPFK draft budget. And then we will have a Q&A. This is a 60-minute item. We don't need to take all of that time if we don't have to. Michael, are you ready? Thank you for joining us, Michael. I know you had some difficulty this evening. We appreciate it.
It's okay. Yeah. As has been stated, this is a budget that is, pretty conservative, especially on the revenue side, based on what we can demonstrate from past practice. And it comes up short of covering all of our expenses. It shows $850,000 in listener support. That's based on roughly this past year in which, in months that we had fund drives, we took in $100,000 or so. And in the months that we did not have fund drives, we were had between $40,000 and $60,000. This shows it just prorated out across the year, with the same figure each month, and $850,000. In addition to that, we do have some other sources of income. We have community events. We have underwriting and sponsorships. Again, that's roughly speaking proven based on past practice of what's here. Those are mainly venues and music, cultural events, things like the UCLA Center for Performing Arts. So we have some anticipated revenues that are not in here. I did send sort of a side letter or an addendum talking about some goals and plans for the year. Our membership is in the 5,000 range, which is to say it's about half of what it was in 2021. It hasn't dropped this year. It maybe has grown a little bit and gone up and down month to month. But we'd like to set a goal. Sorry, somebody's trying to call me. I would like to try to set a goal of over the course of the year, doubling our membership back up to the levels it was 2 or 3 years ago. We have a working group on additional underwriting based on the PNB motion authorizing underwriting that's mission compliant, and we're working on that. But we can't estimate exactly what that might bring in. We're looking at mostly small businesses and community organizations, but we think that it could produce an income. But you know, we don't have a figure to put down at this point. If we matched what we're bringing in now, that would be another 25,000. If we could double that, it would be another 50,000. But it's hard to say. Obviously, if we can increase what I laid out to people here locally is that basically a 6% increase in our membership month over month would double our membership back up to the 10,000 level over the course of the year. If we could actually accomplish that, then we would solve a lot of problems financially. Sorry, my phone keeps juggling other things. You know, expenses are quite a bit lower than they were. Personnel is still roughly half of the total expense, including central services. Personnel costs are over $700,000. The total expense, including central services, is I think about $1.4 million, right? Scroll down to the bottom here. Yeah, a little bit over $1,434,000. We do have some severances that are being paid out, and there might be additional ones. And as those are paid out, then personnel costs would drop. But of course, personnel costs are as low as they are because nobody's paying me, nobody's paying the interim program director. So this is very bare bones in that sense. Development costs are down compared to what they were because we have stopped basically doing very big ticket thank you premiums, many of which we have never fulfilled. We still get complaints about a water filter that was pledged for back in March of 2022 and June of 2022 that we've not been able to pay the vendor for or obtain and send to listeners. So when I first came on a year ago with consulting with the membership department, we felt that we would go with low and no-cost premiums and not a lot of preemptions. So that has reduced the what looks like the revenue from listener support, but in terms of what's realized, it's probably not as big a reduction as it looks like because, there are a lot of costs associated with having very expensive premiums and consultants. We have some income from community events, and we've had some fairly successful ones over the course of the year. We did budget some expenses for that as well. We've been doing monthly film screenings in the station parking lot to bring in, $500 or $600, generally speaking, with no particular expense that's charged to the station. The issue I think that we have is that prorating, in other words, most of the expenses are actually are incurred monthly. The revenue doesn't come in as evenly as it shows here, obviously. So the problem we've had over the course of this year is scrambling in the months we don't have a fund drive. Having a fund drive every other month is very stressful on everybody. And until we can bring in these other revenue streams, either by increasing the membership, by improving the underwriting, or by doing, we are trying to do a major donor campaign jointly with Pacifica. Edie and I have been working on that with a small group of other people and have a one sheet and a cover letter that's starting to go out. But until we can actually produce that revenue and income and show it, in the real world, we're in this syndrome, if you want to call it that, of having to go on air every other month and ask for listener support. The only other thing I would say is that we are increasing our social media promotion and, we'd like to increase a lot more our audio-visual capabilities. All the advice I get is that we need to be putting up more video, more visuals. On, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, to, you know, generate much greater awareness of our content and offerings, and hopefully some of that will come to the radio longer term and, you know, be reflected in ways that can be monetized either on those other platforms or by increasing the membership and the listener support. You know, the only other area really that we can cut much is the personnel costs, and there's not, you know, the prospects of doing that, you know, are small. I think, you know, some of the severances will, as I say, run out, but or others might be engaged in. We're much lower than we were at one point. On the other hand, we're, you know, we have a larger payroll, I imagine, than certainly KPFT, probably than PFW or BAI still. I don't have their figures right in front of me. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of volunteer support, not just mine and the PD, but we have people working as volunteers on some of the maintenance projects. We have a volunteer custodian. We have volunteers working on the project to rebuild the ice shields up at the transmitter that were damaged. We've had volunteers come in to work on some of the social media. And a couple of people have been training as volunteer board operators. But there's only so much you can do with volunteers. I think obviously our membership is down. We still have the same membership department that we had, you know, for quite a long time. But there's no immediate plans on that. So I guess I would say that, you know, potentially there's revenue that's not shown here because it's only potential revenue that could cover the gap that's in this. But, I was a treasurer previously. I was on the NFC previously and had some budgets that, you know, reflected anticipated revenues that did not materialize. So I didn't want to do that with this one. That's why it's under the side letter. I don't know if people had specifics they wanted to ask about, or I do appreciate that the central services are more in line with reality. The only other thing I would say is that in terms of, in a sense, explaining this to the listeners, which I've been trying to do on the air for a while now, is I think it would be helpful if the central services were actually broken down to some specifics. In other words, what is our share of the accounting costs? What is our share of the audit? What is our share of the legal fees and other things, so people have a sense of, okay, these are expenses that we have to cover, and we're not. But I don't think you can put it into this document, so it just shows up as it does.
Jim, are you muted?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I was waiting to hear if Michael was finished.
I think I'm finished. I'll be happy to, you know, talk about specific lines if people want to, or amounts.
Sure. Before anybody asks questions, I'm just going to say a couple of quick things. Michael, I hope you're remembering to get waivers for people who are volunteering.
Kim, can I be recognized? This is Kim. I'd like to speak on this.
Yeah, when I'm done, Kim, you may be. Yes.
Michael,
yeah,
we have
waivers for everybody. Everybody who enters the building, and we've also done earlier in the year. I did send around the sexual harassment prevention training for California to everybody, staff and paid and unpaid staff.
Particularly about volunteers working on the shield.
Yeah, the volunteers have all signed waivers. We had people volunteering to clean up the roof. We had waivers. Anybody comes into the building signs a waiver. And
Good. Thank you for that. And the other thing I wanted to ask was...
It's posted on the building and on the parking lot.
Oh, good. Thank you, Michael. And Stephanie, I wanted to ask you, Michael had asked for a breakdown of the central services and what their share is of the various expenses so that he could use that to explain to the listeners. Is that something you can provide him?
Yes, no problem.
Great. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Ken.
All right. Let's see. I want to point out that on line 17, in addition to the listener support, line 17, we have the sustainers. I did this with Julia last year, and I did the same thing this year. It's not line 17.
18.
I created this line for just the sustainers, because it does go into listener support on the P&L, and our line number 5 is just from the fund drives, and on the P&L, the sustainers go in there, so it's just a way for us to track, for me to track, or whoever wants to track it, where the revenue is coming from. So I just want to point that out. And we broke out on line 55. On line 55, that's a new expense, which we added because Beth told us Zuri is going to file a lawsuit. So we...
That's not
some
true.
Legal fees in there. Well, I have the email,
Beth,
if you want me to send it to you. Anyway, let me move on. That's what that line item is. On line 59.
Hold on, Kim. Beth, I wasn't sure what you were trying to accomplish there. Was that a point of personal privilege?
Let's call it a point of personal privilege. Yes.
Did you want to be heard?
You made a statement attributing it to me, and I'm stating I don't speak for Zuri Rideau, and Zuri doesn't speak for me. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I have an email that is what this is based on. If you'd like me to send it, Beth, I can refresh your memory on that. Nevertheless, it's back up. And on 59, we have been paying this legal settlement, and we now have a line item for it. So we can see that that's an expense that we haven't actually seen before, even though we've been paying for it. And let's see, on 86, maintenance technical, we have a basic $25,000 in there, but we're really looking at like $150,000. So, I think 25 is just for maybe little emergencies, but we're really... We need, at least $150,000 for a new transmitter. So that has to be dealt with separately. and, you know, we'll have to deal with that, but we'll have to deal with that. But it's not on this budget. So I'm just pointing that out. And I brought this up before, and Michael has his opinion, and I have my opinion, and I'm going to state my opinion, that even if we double our membership at $25, that's $125,000 a year. So we need more than just, like, membership. We need listeners who want to support our programs, in my opinion. And I also do have an issue about having events at the station or in the parking lot based on our lack of insurance. Because normally, if we had insurance, we would get extra insurance for doing events. And just having a sign on the door of a building, whether they go in or go out, does not protect us. So,
point of information.
Can I finish, Beth?
I have a point of information. I'd like to ask a question, please.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Hold on, Beth. Beth, Kim, I'll chair the meeting. Beth, go ahead with your point of information. It's a question, right?
I would like to know how much time is allotted for each speaker to speak before other people get a turn.
We didn't allot time. We could, but I'm hoping Kim will wrap up, and, you know, she can always come back. I haven't heard anybody else who wanted to speak yet. But
if I might ask, please, for a space on that on the stack, because up to this point, there hasn't been a request for people on the stack. Kim got on stack first by interrupting Michael. So I've been waiting. Thank you.
This is Kim. Okay. May I be recognized, please?
Yes, Kim. Why don't you try and wrap up at least this portion of your questions, and we can come back to you again. Go ahead, Kim.
Right. I understand. I was just about to say I'm pretty much finished. Generally, procedure for budgets is the GM speaks, the treasurer speaks, and if the PNB rep has something to say, they speak too. This is way budgets get presented. I'm not doing anything like I'm hogging all this time. I thought I was adding to the information that people needed to review our budget. So I am finished for the moment. Thank you.
Yes, and I will say, Kim, that I appreciate what you're saying about the treasurer and the PNB director speaking, and I wasn't really thinking of it that way. I was thinking of it as this was just going to be the general discussion. But now that you pointed that out, and if that had been pointed out in the beginning, I think it would have been clearer. But that's good. It's all good. It's fine. And Beth, why don't we let you go ahead and speak now for a bit as the PNB director, and then we can open it up to a general call for the stack. Go ahead, Beth.
I have a concise question. Michael, we've been belabored by under the past COVID era Edison moratorium debt for more than the past year now, and we must be reaching the end of that. And I'm wondering how much longer till we're out from under that burden, and how much will that relieve us per month after that? Thank you.
Yeah, so we have to pay the regular month bill, which tends to be somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000, and a few days later we have to pay a $3,000 payment towards the arrears. I think there's 3 or 4 more months of the $3,000 payment. But we're in arrears to a lot of other people, too. You know, that's the problem with the budget doesn't really reflect the fact that we have a lot of aged payables. We owe money to Allegiance, and they did send a dunning letter to Pacifica because they're owed going back to 2021. So there's a negotiation going on to try to reduce that and to, I guess, work out a payment plan if possible for the arrears on that. And we owe money to LADWP for the power to the building and the water to the building. So there are a lot of bills that have been accumulating over much longer than my tenure, and you know, that are a burden on the actual finances of the station. So that particular one will clear up within, I think, three more months after this one. But there are a lot of others that have to be accounted for.
Thank you.
Kim, may I be recognized,
Michael,
please?
Yeah, as soon as I ask Michael a question. Michael, I thought I saw a line on here, which I can't see at the moment because I just got knocked off of my screen. Wasn't there a line here for the Southern California Edison? And it showed you've cut it down substantially.
No.
I was asking Michael, Kim.
Yeah. No, the
where did I see that?
The tower is showing here as $10,000 a month, and that's just for the current utilities.
Okay, well, I can't find it now anyway. It's fine.
Maybe
I appreciate that answer. Kim, you wanted to go ahead again? If this is still part of your report, Kim, as the treasurer, sure.
I believe that the we'll be finished with the SoCal Ed in March. And we agree that with that $3,000, we should start paying our current bill for DWP. We haven't done in like 3 or 4, you know, 3 years, and just start paying the current bill, which is about $3,000, unless, you know, we have to deal with Allegiance in a different way. So the money that we will no longer have to pay extra for Cal-Ed will either go to our current monthly bill for DWP or for Allegiance. And I believe that what you might have been looking at, Jim, was from the ED report, not from the budget.
You're right. Thank you. That's correct. And DWP is Department of Power and Water? Water and Power?
Department of Water and Power for Los Angeles, for the building, for the station, which we have not paid. And the back end bill is a big chunk. But they're more generous than SoCal Ed. So.
Thank you. I did see that as well, yes.
Right, SoCal Ed is investor-owned. DWP is the municipal utility.
Say that again, Michael.
I said Southern California Edison is investor-owned. LADWP is a municipal utility. It's a department of the city of L.A.
Correct. Yes, I understood that, but thank you. That'll be helpful for people. If Kim or Beth or Michael don't have anything else to say, I'll open it up to questions. Any of you have anything further at the moment?
I would say one other thing is that although we will need new transmitters, I don't think necessarily we'll need them within this fiscal year. What we do need in this year is several replacement power supplies. And there's a promise from someone that they might be able to retrofit some. They're still investigating. Stuart Landau, the chief engineer, sent some of the specifications for the Nortel, the supplies that power the Nortel transmitter. Some of that is in the budget already for, you know, replacement, because they're steadily declining and need to be replaced. Some of them can't be, and some of them can be retrofitted and brought up to speed again.
I saw that you're working on a campaign with someone. Is this part of the goals of that campaign?
Yeah, so maybe Stephanie can say more later, but we're developing a kind of three-phase major donor and capital campaign, and it would cover some of those things.
Good. Good. Okay, Kim or Beth, did you have anything else at the moment?
Thank you. No.
Okay, why don't we open it up to others for a stack? Is there anybody who would like to be on the stack? Okay, I have our Paul. Anyone else?
McFadden to the stack.
McFadden? Anyone else?
Kamau to the stack.
Okay. Anybody else? I'll put myself on there then. Go ahead, Art Paul.
Okay. Just some fast stuff here. Line, what is it, 124 says the end of year deficit is 277. In the simplified FY24 budget from the executive director, it's 193. So the budget we're seeing tonight is showing a deficit that's about $84,000 bigger, apparently due to expenses from looking at it. And, you know, I see that, like, for instance, total programming is about 5,000 bigger than the simplified thing shows. Are there more expenses than had been thought of earlier in the year, or is it just things creeping up on people to make that 84 grand more?
I think some of that might be that line that Cam mentioned about the legal settlement and the one about the legal fees. It's settlement is 31,000. The legal fees are 25,000. That's 56 of it right there, probably.
Can I
respond? That would be substantial. That would be what, 56 grand, but well, okay. All right, thank you.
I heard somebody asking to respond. Was that you, Kim?
Well, yeah.
Okay. I don't have any problem with that. Good.
The difference in programming, for one thing, is there was a first draft of this budget, then Stephanie did it, then Michael and Stephanie and I worked together on it. So there was some tweaking. I don't exactly remember all that got tweaked, but the difference in programming, that $5,000, is because we had budgeted $15,000, but the P&Ls reflect $20,000. Those are for the BMI royalties, which we're not paying, but it's there. And I don't know, maybe we put up the maintenance technical. Oh, I think we added, maintenance, because we're having some plumbing problems. And they're recurring plumbing problems, and they recurred just as we were making that budget. So, I mean, I could go back and compare them, but off the top of my head, that's what I recall.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Okay, McFadden.
Can you give a rough breakdown on the personnel cost? There's how many FTEs is that? And of those FTEs, what fraction are actually people that are not full-time employees, like, or half, or, you know, or that are part-time employees, just so we can get a sense of those? And then can you also just kind of list the key jobs that these, that the salaries are paying for?
We have basically one remaining production person. We have our traffic coordinator. We have three people in the membership department. We have the music director. And we have the chief engineer, who's part-time. I think those are all the salaried people. And then in addition, we have I think four people working as right in front of me, four or five board operators, engineers, and that's it. So,
this is Kim.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Yeah, as soon as Michael's done.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, and Tim, before you speak, Tim, before you speak, I just want to say that I just heard you say that you were a co-author of this, and I know you've done a lot of work on the budgets in the past. So if Michael doesn't mind, let's just consider you are as a co-partner here in answering the questions.
Yeah.
I asked him before the meeting if he wanted to bring anybody with him. He said, no, he was happy working with you. So let's just not consider this time on the stack. You just be a co-answerer as one of the authors of this budget. Go ahead, Kim.
Right. That might be taken up with a business manager, but I'm all you got. I believe on, let's see, okay, come on. Where is it?
Somewhere in the 60s?
No, under, here, line 54. Consultants, temps, contractuals, which is, now, I don't know which ones are on salary, which board ups are on salary. I mean, at least two of them. And in that line item is the ones that are, you know, part-time. Let's put it that way. So just so you know, in addition to the payroll, there is that line item for which is board ops. And I believe Maggie is part-time, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So to follow up on my question, if you were forced to cut expenses, as you said, the personnel costs are higher here than at some of the other stations.
Right.
What sort of programming would that impact? I assume you must, you'll have to have some kind of plan that if you actually were forced to cut expenses, you'd have to do something. And it would be in those jobs that you just described. Rather than, I don't want to talk about which jobs would have to become, what sort of programming would we lose if those expenses were forced upon you?
Okay, so there's nobody currently paid to, for programming. I mean, we previously had a number of people who were paid to produce their own program and also had associate or assistant producers. And that's no longer the case. So we have, one person who is paid on staff who does, production work with various, programmers. We have, people who are on staff for other things that volunteer their time doing production with various programs.
Maybe I was there. What type of shows, would have to be curtailed, if you were going to have to make further budget?
That's what I'm saying. I can't say what people would do who are currently on staff and volunteering additional time besides their staff time for production if they no longer had a staff position. But we're not... the programming that we have is not currently dependent upon paid producers, with one exception, which is a consultant and who's been helping. We had Margaret Prescott was a paid staff member producing her own program and had an associate or assistant producer. She is going phasing out. She phased out through, retirement, and the person who was working with her resigned, and the union agreed we did not have to replace that person because Margaret was phasing out her own position. So we are paying someone as a consultant to work on some of that programming still. But other than that, we have all volunteer programming. The news program is volunteer, and the public affairs programs that we're producing locally are volunteer. We're getting other material either, you know, from other stations or from other suppliers who provide the material pre-produced at no expense to us. So the impact would not be in the programming. The place that cuts would probably happen would be, you know, in the membership department, because unless we can really rebuild the membership, you know, it's a much smaller membership than it was when we had a much bigger department. But I don't think it would have much of an impact. You know, we've lost people through various things. Roy of Hollywood was paid. He died. Roy Tuchman passed away in April. We were not able to replace him. I've been, in addition to my other duties, curating material for that program, which is 6 hours a night, four nights a week, midnight to 6 a.m. But that's, you know, mostly pre-produced material. We're getting some things sent to us exclusively, some things we're picking up from other stations, some things we're getting from the affiliates, you know, through AudioPort. And,
Okay, I think I get a good idea. Then I'll just ask my last question, you know, because I'm just trying to see how you know, how to square the revenue and you know, what would have to change.
Yeah.
You and that you'd, you know, you're going to be, of course, always working on increasing membership. In the last year, has membership at least stabilized, or has it gone down in the last year?
Membership has basically stabilized over the year. It goes up and down a little bit each month, maybe, you know, compared to previous months. But the big drop that we had in membership was in 2021, in response to a lot of conflict that you're all aware of around the bylaws and around the local station board elections. And our membership basically was cut in half that year between the pandemic and those factors. So it dropped from about 11,000 to 5,000 something, and it's remained at 5,000 something. We are getting an analysis of allegiance from a consortium of public radio and TV stations, and for some reason, Pacifica, the only Pacifica station that's in it and getting the data is KPFK, but what it shows is that, you know, our retention rate of new members has gone up fairly substantially this year. And our retention rate for member revenue has gone up year over year compared between 2022 and 2023 that we're, you know, wrapping up now. I did want to say in response to what Kim said about membership that the average donation the average per donor over the course of the fund drives is about $150. So the point is that people who become members at $25 don't only give $25. They tend to give quite a bit more sometime during the course of the year. And so, you know, if we doubled our membership, it would not just be, you know, 5,000 people paying $25. It would be 5,000 people probably paying $150. Or more on average, which is a much more substantial sum.
All right, thank you.
I don't think that doubling the membership would necessarily double the revenue, but it would, you know, would probably increase listener support by at least 50%.
Thank you, McFadden and Michael. Kamau.
Thanks, James. First thing I had was potentially a suggestion. We typically ask at our finance committee meetings locally for a list of the outstanding accounts payable. Maybe that's something that could supplement this particular budget with a list of the outstanding payables from the prior year that you're pulling into the current year. That may help kind of give a sense of the outstanding burden on the station.
Yeah.
Can I respond, Jim?
Are you done? Well, let's see if Kamau is finished.
Was
I have
that
one, one second response.
Hold on, Kim. Was that your full sentence? Come on.
That was my one suggestion, and I had I was going to point out what the differences were between the two budgets, the larger numbers.